Hey everybody, I'm Lisa Burwell, your host of V-Speaks Conversations with Heart and Soul. We're in season 6 and we've been doing this podcast for the last 5 years and learning more and more about everybody, and we're sitting in a gorgeous studio today, makeshift studio, at Melissa Skolins, the owner and designer, principal designer of Summerhouse Lifestyles in Watercolor Origins, her new location. Melissa, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Lisa. Thanks for
having
me.
You're welcome. So happy you're here. I've known you now for 15 years.
Amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes, that's crazy.
When you first moved into town and our offices in your place that you had then in Grayton Beach were close by one another. And when I first walked into your store, I just couldn't believe it. I was overwhelmed with the level of sophistication, just your showroom, and then you would have like a little corner with clothes, and I'm like, these clothes are so gorgeous, and your pillows and everything. And I always have said to people that if you want a white couch and you want a big white couch, the only person that you need to talk to is Melissa, because she has the best. I mean, I don't know if it's a particular brand or you just sort of cornered the market on couches. Let's just start in a random place there with
I'm just a big quality girl. So I think that when you see, when you walk in, you see the quality of the pieces that I, and the vendors that I use. You know, I'm always all about the quality, and it's more about the quality than the look, but when you have high quality, the look comes with that. Mm-hmm.
Well, what I noticed in your first iteration here 15 years ago was the taste level that you have. And you had it back then. And so I suspect you've always just had an innate ability for good taste. Tell me about when you first knew, I think I know what I like and I think I have good taste.
I mean, I think I just grew up feeling pretty confident, and my mom kind of indulged me a little bit with clothing. I was the fourth daughter, and my older sisters all were dressed the same, and they were all very close in age, and then there was a four-year gap, and then myself. So they're jealous because I always got the new clothes, because there were no more hand-me-downs after three after three girls, and then I have a younger brother. Okay. So my mom really indulged me and allowed me to kind of have my own personal style from a very young age. And then I ended up working in the clothing industry, you know, as a teenager. And I worked at a tennis store. Tennis is my second passion besides design. Okay. So I do love tennis. And I worked as a buyer in the tennis industry for a little while when I was in high school and college. So I kind of always knew what I liked, and I always went, you know, gravitated towards things. And then people would always kind of ask me to outfit them. Some ladies would come in and say, put my outfit together.
A story that you were telling me about is the person that you were working for in the tennis shop took you on a buyer's trip.
Yes, when I was just 16. And so it was really exciting for me just to kind of get into that industry and see the showrooms in Chicago and all that. And my eyes were opened. You know, as we grew up in just outside of Milwaukee, so it wasn't a long drive, but you know, we'd go to Chicago and go to the buying trips and go to the Mart, and that's kind of when I fell in love with all things design and clothing and style.
Well, I went to Market in Atlanta many, many years ago when my husband was working on his parents' home, and we were there for 4 days, and it was, you know, like 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. And you know, when you go with somebody else, you sort of argue about what you should buy and shouldn't buy. Like, it was a workout,
right?
So when you go to Market, it's fun, but it also possibly is one of the most tiring things that I have ever done in my life. And you go to Market a lot.
I do.
So
I go twice
a
year to High
Point. How do you ramp up for the trip to Market?
You know what? I'm so inspired when I go to Market, and I always go and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I don't want to go to Market. It's going to be exhausting. And it is exhausting. Yeah. It does. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot out of me. But I also get so inspired because I'm always seeing new design and new fabrics. I mean, it's like me.
Touching,
I'm just like a kid in a candy store with fabric and, you know, wallpaper and things like that. So I get inspired, and it's always fun. And I have all these relationships. So I always walk away, you know, exhausted, yes, but inspired.
What is your favorite market? Because there are a lot of them.
I mean, High Point Market is definitely a highlight. And, you know, it's not clothing. It's all design. You know, it's all furniture. And I think it's just, it's expansive. So that's the exhausting part. Mm-hmm. I usually walk at least 8 miles a day. I like to walk High Point. I don't like to, a lot of times they do offer transportation. They have buses that will take you all throughout Market. And I'm sure the girls that work with me are like, please, let's take the bus. But and sometimes we'll take an Uber or something like that. But I really, I find it, just like when I'm going to explore a neighborhood, I think mm-hmm. walking is always the best way to explore something. And then otherwise you miss things. Mm-hmm. So I like to see every little bit, every new light, every little nuance, all the colors that they're showing and all the things like mm-hmm. that. So we walk Market and it is exhausting, mm-hmm. but it's also inspirational. Yeah. And we always come back with great ideas like, oh, we should put this here. Or I think of a client that I'm like, that rug would be amazing in her house, mm-hmm. something I hadn't mm-hmm. thought of before.
And you also take some of your clients with you to Market.
I have, yes. Select people have either asked or, you know, we've said it would be great for you to come pick out rugs. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no better place to find rugs than High Point Market. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the special client that, you know, we have a very tight relationship with, which actually almost all my clients have become dear friends. I mean, I've done 4 or 5 houses for several people. My first client that I worked with, Sue Lavin and her husband, I think I'm on the 5th house with them, and they're just going to be building an LC court coming up here soon. So,
oh, here.
Yes. They built here, okay. Watercolor, Grayton Beach, Blue Mountain Beach, Seagrove, and then now LC court.
Wow. And all new builds?
Yes. Well, actually, one was a remodel. Mm-hmm. So Grayton Beach was a remodel, and actually Blue Mountain was a teardown. So
yeah, it is a very personal relationship.
Yes.
When you are basically transforming or remodeling somebody's home, right? Mm-hmm. So the relationships are always maybe the most important thing that you cultivate. And to have somebody that you're on your 5th home with, you've done that numerous times.
Correct.
You even have a client that you're currently working on in Palm Beach, and isn't that the 5th home for them as well?
Not the one that fifth that I've done, but I have done little touches in her her homes. But yes,
talk about this home. This is a new build or a renovation?
It's a renovation. Okay. It's just a classic Palm Beach home. It's I'm so glad that they're not tearing it down and they're mm-hmm. deciding to renovate, and then they're taking part of the house off and rebuilding it. So, but the bones of the house are staying intact. Mm-hmm. And Peter Papadopoulos from Smith & Moore Architects, he's amazing mm-hmm. and he's working on it. And they've got a great team of builders and people that are going to really make this house incredible and take it back to its glory.
Wow.
So I'm excited about it.
How... In the interplay of the relationship with architect and interior designer, when do you get involved in that process?
I mean, the sooner the better.
The sooner the better, I know.
I hope. I mean, it's not always the case. Right. And I think it's harder if I come into a project where we haven't all sat down and kind of, you know, planned it out ahead of time and thought about how plumbing fixtures will go. And, you know, it's a disadvantage to bring your designer in at the very end and think that they only do the rest of it, because I mean, the more people that are thinking about the process and putting it together, the better.
Yeah.
And some people tell me how they live. They don't necessarily tell their architect how they live, or I know them from, you know, years past and we've worked together before. So I know they have certain needs. And so I think it's always best to bring us in early. More collaboration is always better. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge collaborator. Mm-hmm. I believe in, you know, I never worry about architects and builders. I think together our ideas are better.
Cohesiveness is always the better.
Yeah, idea. Absolutely.
Yeah. So when will that house be done?
It's going to be about 24 month build.
24. That's not
mm-hmm.
bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not bad. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I mean, again, the building's staying intact, then they're building on, they're tearing half the house down. Mm-hmm. They're adding a basement, actually, which is very interesting in Florida.
Yeah.
Very uncommon, but they're adding a basement with
how do you excavate down
it's very
when
intense.
The house is still there.
I mean, they don't have they have a very mechanical basement, but they're actually putting in a full basement.
Okay.
Which is, I mean, I really don't know all the details on how that works, but it's pretty incredible.
Impressive.
I mean, in Palm Beach, they have tunnels, you know, like at Mar-a-Lago, there's a tunnel that you go through to get to the beach side.
Right.
So
many things to say about Palm Beach. One of them being, I absolutely love Palm Beach. I think it's so fun to be there. And we were invited by a PR firm to go there about 3 or 4 years ago. And, you know, they really rolled out the red carpet for us. And I went to Le Bilboquet and stayed at the Colony and then did the tour, you know, the Meisner, and just like so much history.
So much history.
And so beautiful and worth half.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's so iconic, and it's really having a resurgence, I think. It kind of died down. I mean, I don't think Palm Beach has always been Palm Beach, right. But it's really coming back with roaring, and younger generations are...
And where are they coming from? Because a lot were from, like, New England, Connecticut area.
That I think it's still, you know, the majority of the draw is New England, Connecticut, okay. I would say.
Yeah.
Definitely. New York.
New York, of course.
Yes, yeah. Definitely New York. But I think they're coming from all over. I think it draws someone who wants fun, you know, color, just...
Oh, it's just...
It's got so much to offer.
It's very luxurious. It's a high-end market for sure. And the culture there, everyone dresses up.
Right.
And when you go to dinner, you know, it's just like kind of... It's comical for me, but in the best of ways, to like respect the level of dressing that right. goes on in Palm Beach.
Right. And it's not even, and I don't think that you have to always be dressed up in Palm Beach. Uh-huh. I mean, it's very casual.
Yeah.
But...
Well, maybe that was just at Le Bilbo Cake. They're going to deck out for
probably.
That.
I mean, I think I'm at St. Ambrose quite a bit, and, you know, it's 30 minutes from my house in Wellington. So, you know, I'm there either whether I'm working or whether I'm, you know, out playing or shopping. And it's got a great energy and vibe.
It really, really does. Mm-hmm. And so many things to talk about as a segue from this, but one being, okay, so you've been to Mar-a-Lago like several times, right?
Yes.
And you were only there fairly recently. What was that event that you went to?
That was for the dog rescue. It was Big Dog Ranch Rescue. So it was called Wine, Women, and Shoes. Mm-hmm. And it was like a daytime event mm-hmm. on a Sunday afternoon. They raised so much money. It was amazing. Mm. They put on an incredible event there. Mm-hmm. It was really lovely.
And you told me it was beautiful. Like, of course, I can see the pictures that it's beautiful, but you really sort of emphasize like just what a beautiful structure that is, or the compound.
Yeah, the compound is incredible. I mean, what they've done there, they've got, you know, it's kind of like a little mini Versailles. They've got gilded and gold in all the mm-hmm. ballrooms and mm-hmm. Just the special touches in the bathrooms. Mm-hmm. Everything is just, it's over the top. Everything's over the top.
Right, right, right. So you moved here from Wisconsin 15 mm-hmm. years ago, and then when did you buy your farm in Wellington?
So I have a house in Wellington, but we board our horses in a farm in Wellington.
Okay.
And my youngest daughter, Lauren, was in high school, and she was riding competitively, and we were going down to the Winter Equestrian Festival, which is every year from January until April in Wellington.
Okay.
And it's really where the top riders in the world congregate for, you know, from January until April. They come from Europe. They come from all over the world. And that's where they compete. And so when she was a sophomore, it was during COVID and all the things. And we just thought, we're not going to sit inside. And, mm-hmm. you know, Florida was open. Mm-hmm. And we were already coming down to compete anyway. And we just decided to make the move. She did online school, and we never looked back.
Wow.
We took her out of school. She had several horses to ride. So we have a farm called Triple M Farms, which is where we board our horses. And her trainer her name is Jessica Mendoza, and she is actually an Olympic athlete. She went to the Olympics, I think, at age 19 for Great Britain. And she's probably will go, you know, wow. next Olympics in LA.
Wow. How old was your daughter when she started riding?
She was 8.
Okay, so yeah, because you do have to
start. She started in Wisconsin, and she had a wonderful trainer and a wonderful foundation. We had lived here, and then my parents were sick, and my husband had a job opportunity in Wisconsin, so we moved back, and I kind of commuted back and forth from Wisconsin to here for many years.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I did. And then my parents both passed away right when all this was happening. And so once my parents, it was actually within 3 months of each other, both my parents passed, and we decided to make the move and take my daughter to Wellington, and kind of haven't looked back since.
Wow.
It's
so exciting.
Quite a journey. Oh, yeah. It was kind of a leap, but I saw something that she had passion for, uh-huh. and I really just believe in kind of emphasizing that in your children mm-hmm. and showing them that you can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I feel like COVID was a time where everybody was kind of like stuck inside and, you know, people weren't doing as much. And I couldn't take it. I just had to get out and do something productive. And we all love the horses. I mean, the horses inspire me just even with my design. So
yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Which leads to another thing, so many things, like how many people love, like, you know, a classic home, classic clothing, which you seem to be the consummate tastemaker in your ability to understand that and don't overdo, but have everything just look so good. And I think we were talking earlier, you think that this classic movement is making a resurgence again?
I do. I think that whole Ralph Lauren look is everywhere right now. Mm-hmm. And to me, it never went out of style. You know, I mean, I just think that I always tell my clients, if you buy things that you love, and, you know, and even antiques, I've always loved antiques. You know, they've gone in and out of style so many times. And the dark wood has gone in and out of style. But if you continue to use it in a classic way, it always comes back. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the same with all the style that's happening now. We're having such a resurgence of classic style. Mm-hmm. I don't think it ever went out. I don't think brass will ever go out. I don't think marble ever goes out. You know, people are like, oh, I'm afraid of brass. And this is like 10 years ago when I was doing brass and I was the only person and everyone's like afraid. And I'm like, when you go to Europe and you go to Paris, what do you see? You see brass mm-hmm. and marble. I mm-hmm. mean, it's never going out of style. Mm-hmm. It's classic. Mm-hmm. I mean, so is polished nickel. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there are some things that are just always going to be.
Right.
And that's kind of my style. I would say that's, I mean, I'm so classic that way, and that's mm-hmm. the Northeast. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of drawn to that Northeastern style. Mm-hmm.
So I know of a magnificent home that you did in Connecticut, and I think it was like a $25 million home that you worked on. And
I don't know. I mean, at this point, who knows what prices are.
that was back when. You know, this was probably 5-6 years ago, but absolutely stunning. And Connecticut is obviously part of the New England, you know, repertoire there. And then, you know, we're both really drawn to the Connecticut, Cape Cod and all that. I grew up there.
Yeah.
And then you just have a propensity for loving the look and the sensibility.
I do. That you know, Northeastern shingle style. I mean, it's just, it doesn't get better. Nantucket. Mm-hmm. I mean, you go to Nantucket and everything is shingle style. It's so awesome.
Yeah.
The house in Connecticut, I'm really proud of that one. I'm hoping to get up there, this June and get photography mm-hmm. so we can.
Good. Yes, please.
I haven't done a great job of doing that because I'm more interested in the product than trying to, like, you know, push myself.
I get it. I mean, and if you need any help doing that, you know, let me know because we have a magazine.
Right.
We live and die by rich photography, right? And telling stories, you have to have good photography to tell the story. And I have been wanting to publish that home for several years now. So let's make it happen this year for sure.
Yes.
And, you know, so many things to talk about, but just in the small, short conversation that we've had so far, how are you juggling motherhood? Obviously, elderly parents, and I had gone through that too, which is like incredibly difficult when you're in the prime of, I don't know, making everything happen and you're stretched to the nth degree, but then you're working with clients and deadlines. And a lot of times it's hard to make deadlines when you're, you know, in the grind of the home, the architect, the builder, and when is it all going to be done? And clients just want everything done when they want it done. How do you process that level of commotion and stay steady? And then what is it and how do you have the sensibility to basically juggle all the balls?
Well, I have to tell you that my faith is the most important thing in my life. Without it, I couldn't do any of this. Mm-hmm. You know, I think God,
same.
God has just given me, you know, obviously he's given me a gift of, you know, working with people mm-hmm. and seeing beautiful things. Mm-hmm. And I've definitely struggled with, mm-hmm. okay, so I have, you know, I sell nice things and expensive yeah. things. And I, you know, I've struggled with, is this wrong? Is this bad? But I've come back to, I'm supporting artisans that have these beautiful skills. And, you know, I try to really work with people I have respect for and I trust and, you know, companies that I have faith in. And so, I mean, I think that if you have faith and you just allow God to open doors for you, that's just the way you got to really lean in. And I think being a mom, a working mom is rough and very, you know, it's difficult. I was given opportunities for friends of mine who had, you know, their grandmothers that would help me with my children when they were young. Now my kids are all grown up and I'm still leaning on my faith. I'm still leaning on my friends mm-hmm. and my family mm-hmm. to just kind of lift me up when I need it. Mm-hmm. I think probably going through the death of both my parents in a really short period of time was transformative for mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. Another leaning in on my faith. I don't know how you get through that without, you know, a strong family and also strong faith. And I'm really fortunate. I think mm-hmm. my faith has only gotten stronger the older I get, the more I know God's in control, mm-hmm. and I, you know, I can't really do right. anything. So right. at the end of the day, that's what I have to lean into. Yeah.
So beautiful. And I feel the exact same way. I don't know how people do things without God, faith, stamina, knowing everything somehow is going to work out, you know, when a lot of things don't work out.
And, right.
And they don't work out.
They
but
don't.
Then somehow.
It's not always fair. Life's not fair.
And somehow at the end of the day or at the end of the week or month, somehow it does. You know?
It always does. Like, it always does. Yeah, and the more I try to control it and the more I think I'm in control, the more humble I am mm-hmm. because I know I'm really not in control.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that about like, is this wrong? Because I don't think many people would even understand like what that means, but I do understand what it means because, you know, I wanted to like run homeless shelters and like, you know,
right.
And have, go to third world country. Like that was my definition of what it would be to like help and serve people, but you can help and serve people wherever you're planted. And we're all supposed to create, like, you know, we're supposed
right.
to create things. And if that's your gift, you know, you're supposed to use it, you know, use it or lose it.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, and yeah. that's what I've come to is that I've been given that gift from God. And that's what I just want to try to make the world more beautiful. You
right.
know, I try not to be wasteful. I try to use things to the best of my ability. And I, you know, I try to make people's lives better because I'm helping them do something they can't do on their own.
Yeah, I know. That's so, and then they just must be so thrilled with, you know, your masterpiece, you know, when it's done, even if it's a collaboration, because there's a lot going on with that.
There's a lot going on. And I really love collaborating with my clients. Mm-hmm. Like I love it when people take an interest in what we're putting together. And I like it to just kind of flow and come together organically and mm-hmm. naturally. And usually it does. I mean, I usually develop a great relationship with my clients and it all just kind of starts to flow and,
right.
and come together.
Yeah. So you're, this show home that we're sitting in right now, which is absolutely beautiful, is a much larger iteration of your first that
yes.
you had, but you still have the design bar here, which
yes.
is beautiful, and have a team of designers assisting and working with the projects. And then you're flying here, there, and everywhere and
yes.
back and forth and doing your thing. When you opened in Grayton years ago, what was the vision then? And was this part of it to continue growing something bigger here? And then where are you going in the future in your mind's eye?
So, you know, when I opened, I really just wanted to have a place that was an experience for people, that they came in and they felt better when they left. I wanted them to come into the store and be able to take some piece of something away and have them feel better. I wanted to give them a good experience. I wanted to be friendly, kind, you know, and also have them experience a beautiful place
mm-hmm.
and say, I want that. Somehow I want that in my life, right?
Right.
And so that's always been what I looked at. And mm-hmm. even with the store now, I mean, a lot of people think that we are set up more like vignettes and it's not quite as, you know, much of a store. And I've had some vendors say, you can't fit as much of my stuff in as I want you to, or, you know, but that's not the point. I mean, I want people to have an experience. I still mm-hmm. want them to come in and be like, okay, I love how I feel when I'm in here.
Mm-hmm.
It's really experiential.
Right. So when I come in here and I usually, you know, will walk straight in and see the dress table. So it's either dressed for Christmas or like Easter or the holidays or whatever. And like the absolute finest things that you can possibly have on the table. And then you're selling the products and all of that and giving people ideas. So when,
right.
you know, come in, you get your own idea. You might buy something in here, you might not. But like some people are going to be browsing like they're in an art gallery instead of like going to buy something in a store. Obviously,
yeah.
you would like more people to buy
like
than
more
not.
To buy.
You know, look at an art gallery. That's not really not the point. But you also have things that are very, very hard to find in our town, which are like, this is a simple thing, but note cards
mm-hmm.
and beautiful
right.
note cards that you have. If you want to talk about that, and then the Smeg line and all the different little pockets of fun that you can find here.
Yeah, I mean, I've always wanted to have these little things that I feel like we're missing in our little area because we're not close to a big city. And so there used to be a card store in Seaside. I can't remember if it was called Hooch and Holly or
yes.
something like that. Do you remember
yeah,
that?
A long time ago.
I remember that card store and I loved it. And when it closed, it was like, someone's got to fill the gap here. Like, where are you going to get a card? Yeah. I don't want to go to Walgreens buy my card. I don't want to buy a card at Publix. You know, I love Publix, but I'd rather go grocery shopping there. So I really wanted to fill that for people and have kind of just a great gift place where someone can pop into my store and say, I have to go to a dinner party tonight. I need a great gift. I need a card, you know. So I really want to be a part of the community. Mm. So that's always been part of my vision, is just to be a part of the community. And then, you know, bringing in the toasters and the Smeg. I think I love the line. It's great stub. And we don't have anywhere to go. We have to drive all the way to Williams-Sonoma or... Right. You know, I don't even know where you would drive in Panama
Nowhere
City
else,
Beach.
By the way, yeah. just that.
Right. So
you and Williams.
And for us, it's, you know, yeah. that's a 40-minute drive
right.
sometimes. So
right.
yeah. I just want to be able to be that for the community.
Right. And then jewelry.
Yeah.
And sunglasses and crew. And I don't know if you just carry crew.
Yep, crew.
Mm-hmm. Which is a really great line of sunglasses. And then the clothing. There's a little clothing nook back there that everything I touch and see is just like... out of this world, amazing. I've never even seen half of the products that you find. I mean, they're really highly curated, and it definitely, like, I dig it. I love the taste level of it. So I've told you a couple of times, if you expanded your clothing line, you'd probably do really well with that too.
Well, I'd love to do that. I mean, Willow has got kind of a hold on the clothing here. They do a great job. We like to have, it started out, I think, me having a need to not have time in my life to being a mom,
right.
going to market, going to all these things. I was like, I need to be able to get clothing and, you know, and so I would buy for myself and, you know, I would just have some extras for other, you know, it's just like, it started out that way and I'd really like to expand it. I love clothes. I've always, this is kind of like, I told you, it started at a young age. I was indulged. I'm sure my sisters would agree because they were wearing hand-me-downs and I wasn't, but I've always liked clothing. And so I hope to expand that someday. But we've got Ann Mashburn and TWP, which are great lines and not seen everywhere else. Mm-hmm. So I try to stay unique. I'm trying to do something that at an elevated level that you aren't going to see everywhere else.
Yes, I will attest to this, that women who like clothes, which is most women, please come in here and check out what you have here because it's really great. I know that in August... we have our annual luxury real estate magazine, and one of your clients' home is going to grace the cover. Talk about the home, what you did with it, where it's located, and sort of your mixture of, like you were talking about earlier, where you're, you know, mixing some classics with antiques and et cetera.
Okay, so the clients are Cynthia and Jeff Gregory, and they're just incredible people. I mean, I feel like I'm a better person because I know them. Mm-hmm. They've really blessed my life in incredible ways and taught me a lot, just in general, just about being a better person. And I feel really, again, I just feel honored that I was able to work with them. I'd helped her a little bit with her house in Origins, where they lived while they were building. And she's just this, she loves antiques, she loves, you know, old things, she likes the juxtaposition of old and new, she loves acrylic, but she still likes the old bleached out antiques, and she's just got she's an artist too. So she's actually an amazing, remarkable artist, and she has excellent taste. So she's one of the women that I would take to market with me. She's she's just got great taste, and we work together so well. I mean, I can't wait for you to see the house. It's incredible.
I can't wait.
And Jeff Chick did an amazing job designing it.
He always does.
I know.
And you know what about Jeff? He was always good.
Yes.
But his last couple of years of homes have been unbelievable.
I know, it's next level.
Is he next level or what?
So he really is. Yeah, he showed me a couple of projects that were out of the area as well. And, you know, he's just...
Good for him.
Yeah, he keeps getting better.
Yeah, he's really good.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that you know their story, you know, they have a foundation, Lauren's Legacy, and
did you say Lauren's Legacy?
It's called Lauren's Legacy, in honor of their daughter, and it really welcomes in for the community. It's a crisis pregnancy foundation, and they offer all kinds of things from counseling to clothing to medical care for all these women who have a crisis pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And it's an incredible organization. So
is it, does she have a location for that?
Yeah, it's in Freeport right now, and they're in the process of, they bought some land and they're going to be expanding it. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's incredible.
That's really great. The area needs it, and
we need it,
and everybody, well, everywhere you go would need it, but we don't have anything like that right now.
Exactly.
So, and then the story is beyond bittersweet, because it's dedicated to her daughter who passed away at a very young age.
Right.
And so, I find the story, being able to tell the story through the magazine, your story, part of it, and also her story, and very excited to be able to share.
It's an incredible story.
It is.
I can't wait for you to.
Yeah, I can't wait to meet her.
Meet them and just hear the whole story from their perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're incredible people.
That's amazing. So, future, because I know you are a woman on the move and you don't look like you are slowing down anytime soon. What is the goal? You know, I mean, we talked about it a little bit, but, you know, where do you want to take the business?
I mean, I would like to grow the business, and I do see myself possibly in the Northeast with, you know, a location there, a design bar there, or some kind of retail presence there, because I love that part of the country, and I love old, you know, the history of everything. I'm definitely drawn to old historic things and bringing new life into them. I love a remodel. You know, I can't get enough of that. So eventually I'd like to expand. I'm not sure, like I don't have, I wish I had the crystal ball. I'd love to get into some kind of antique curation. I always have dreams about going to Europe and bringing things back and selling and having some kind of antique presence.
And you might do that.
And I may do that. Yeah, I may do that. My daughter's studying in London this summer, and I'll probably go over and do a little antiquing. Mm-hmm. I have a thing. The girls will always laugh at me. I love rugs. I love antique rugs, and I love antique farm tables. So that's mm-hmm. Some of my favorite things. But I think the future is, you know, I'd like to grow, but like I said to you earlier, I'm a quality girl, so mm-hmm. I would never want to compromise quality. Mm-hmm. I always want to keep my hand in really, you know, great vendors and great people to work with. Mm-hmm. And so if I do expand, you know, it would probably be in the Northeast mm-hmm. or also in Wellington, Palm Beach area, mm-hmm. because, again, same clientele.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you've been doing this for a bit, and very successful at what you're doing. But this is the year where you are on a branding mission.
Yes.
And then because of that, the story will end up unfolding because of that, because I have found that when people kind of pick their head up for a second of not just doing the work, which obviously you can do, and you start thinking about the future and then what are the next levels, it actually, the story writes itself. But you have to pick your head up from looking down at like everything that you have to do. And that's very, very hard to do because as entrepreneurs, you don't have very much time to pick your head up.
Absolutely. So that's been my challenge. I've been like, you know, just get through the day, just get all this work done. And yes, I am on a branding mission, and it's the Chinese New Year of the Horse, which, you know, I love horses. I love animals. Uh-huh. I'm inspired by them. That's the way I'm looking at it. Like I'm thinking of horses running into the wild mm-hmm. and, you know, something incredible happening this year.
Yeah. Awesome. Wow. So, how did you find when you were growing your business, then when you're bringing people on and then you're building a team? Talk to me about that, because it's very much a different part of when you first open a business and it's all you, and, you know, you've got a lot of, you know, passion, grit, and bluster, you know, to get through it. And then you're talented and you have a skill set for it. And then you build a team, and then there are people involved, and then you have to duplicate and
right.
multiply yourself, and then you have to learn how to be a leader and not the person who does all the work. Talk about that.
Well, I'm sure you feel this. I mean,
I'm sure.
We're very similar that way yeah. because I know you have the same work ethic. I know you have the same grit. I know yeah. you have all the same right. traits. And I would say that delegating is not my best suit. And I think I struggled for years to do that. And that isn't the greatest thing, because what I try to do now is surround myself with amazing people. I think I have the most amazing team on 30A. I'm awesome. So proud of mm-hmm. everyone that works with me. And I've learned the hard way mm-hmm. that I can't do everything myself, mm-hmm. even though I want to. Mm-hmm. There's just no way, you know, I only have so much bandwidth. So right. I really just try to surround myself with people that have a like-minded attitude, mm-hmm. who really want to be positive, you know, and bring that same energy mm-hmm. to the yeah. workplace and to the environment that we have here.
Yeah, I would say, and this is a God-given, I've had many God-given talents that I've been able to do because they, you know, they were gifts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to sort of blaze through like so many different things. And then one day, and my business is 34 years old, and one day about maybe 15, 14 years ago, because I'm like, I can honestly critique myself, I went, oh, I'm not a good manager. I didn't know I wasn't good at something, but I'm not.
Right.
And I wanted to be one. So I decided that that wasn't like actually coming totally naturally to me.
Right.
And I said, I want to be a good manager. So I said, that's what I want to be, God. And I want you to teach me how to be a good manager. And I thought I would accomplish that in like a year. I did not. Then the second year, I'm like, well, I'm getting better, but I'm still not good, because I could critique myself. And then after 5 years of really studying and analyzing and putting, you know, effort toward what I wanted to become good
right.
at. After 5 years, I said, I think I'm a good manager. So anyway, it's hard.
It's hard. And I would say that's the hardest part, is managing people. I think that's where I struggle the most.
Mm.
I love people,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to disappoint, and I also don't want to ever hurt anyone's feelings. You know, I'm a Libra. I think yeah. I told you guys that earlier there. So yeah. I want to balance everything and make everybody happy, and
yeah.
I don't ever want to hurt anyone's feelings or anything like that. But I, you know, I realize I just can't do it all.
Right.
And part of what I have to do and what I'm called to do with the position that I've been put in
mm-hmm.
is to be a leader mm-hmm. and to be a manager mm-hmm. and to lead through example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't always get it right. And
trust is
and
a trust, big part of that.
And sometimes yeah. you just have to let go.
Yeah.
And that was probably my biggest challenge, and yeah. letting go and just saying, okay, let someone else do this and see, watch them fly, you know, because I always wanted to get my hands in there and do it myself.
Exactly.
And I can do it. I know I can do it. So that,
yeah. But you can't. But then you know what? You can't.
You can't.
Because
at some point,
you can't grow something by yourself.
At some point, you can't do anything well if you can't delegate.
True.
So that's what I've learned. And again, I think the key and the number one factor for me has been just to surround myself with really capable and amazing people.
Yeah.
And I've been lucky, and I've been really fortunate also to have a very supportive husband
yeah.
who, you know, has kind of
that.
Been my cheerleader.
yeah,
even cool. when I'm like, okay, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. On the days where you don't want right. to get up in the morning and you're like, I can't be a business owner anymore. I mean, yeah. only business owners understand this.
Exactly.
Only entrepreneurs understand
exactly.
it's exhilarating. It's awesome. But
yeah.
it's also can be just
brutal.
Debilitatingly brutal.
Brutal.
There are days where you don't want to get out of bed and you don't want to go
yeah.
and show up and do the things.
It's so funny. I've had those days myself, but then I mean every minute of everything I'm saying on that given day. And then 2 days later, like I'll just be working and I'll just be doing my thing that I do. And I'm like, oh, I really love what I do. And then I'm like, oh, I'm psychotic.
Right, exactly.
Right.
I mean, I have many days like that, because it's a blessing to be able to do what we do. And
yeah.
I love what I do. The fact that I get to go look at fabrics and beautiful mm-hmm. things and meet amazing people and have all these stories to tell.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, someday I'll write a book about it. Actually,
yes.
that's what I'd like to do. But
yes. And you want to do, and you want to have a book too. Just
I
of
do.
Your, yeah, that's
just,
good.
Really you about should. The relationships. I mean, more so about the families on 30A that
right.
I've met and,
right.
and the incredible people that I've
right.
had the
right.
opportunity to, you know, work with.
Right. One of your, what I would call landmark projects that all can see on 30A is what you did for Fonville Press with Jeremy and Angela Walton, is that beautiful creation that you made there. And it was so different for our area. But yeah, tell us the story about how that happened. When you drive by it, do you say, wow, this is so much exactly what I wanted? Do you love it?
I love it. I think it's really iconic, especially right now. It's got all the beautiful pink flowers on it. And it kind of looks like a little Palm Beach, a little touch of Palm Beach in Alice Beach. And Jeremy's obviously, he's a visionary.
He is.
And he had a vision for that place. And he said, you know, I want you to look at the Colony. And that was kind of the vibe he wanted.
Yeah,
the Colony in Palm Beach. I think it stands out because it's just different. Because 30A is so white and so, you know, and
yes.
It doesn't have a lot of those like touches of old Florida that a lot of places do, especially Palm Beach with the pink wallpaper
and
the palms. And it's actually, I think it's brought some fun back in to design. And I think that was, I think Fonville, that project kind of was like the stepping stone to more fun wallpaper. I mean, wallpaper, I always say, is the new shiplap. Like, we're doing a lot of wallpaper.
Yes.
And it's fun.
I love it.
And awesome.
And
yeah,
it looks so fun.
It's making everything more textural and really, I love it.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. And I've noticed a lot more wallpaper in the last 4 or 5 years creeping in. And and this wallpaper of today is not the wallpaper of yesterday.
It's amazing.
The material, the design and everything. So I have a joke for you. Like, who still knows how to do the craft of hanging wallpaper? Like, where do you find these people?
Well, we only have one couple that does it.
Really?
I mean, they need
to train some people.
They do need to train some people. Or I need to get some people. I always say I'd love to have an in-house wallpaper person. There's a couple that do it for us, and they're amazing, and they work together. But they've been doing it for us for years. Yeah. And believe it or not, we've been doing wallpaper for years. We were probably one of the first places that was doing wallpaper. Mm. 15 years ago, I was doing wallpaper.
Yes, yeah, I remember.
Not a lot of it. Not as much as we are today. But people are embracing texture, which is so awesome.
Yes, it is.
But it is hard to find people, especially in our small little town.
Right, right.
That do the wallpaper.
Well, could you also talk about, you know, the pillows and the fabrics, and you're basically, you know, making your own products and selling them here in the store as well?
Yep. So a lot of the pillows that we do are fabrics that I just choose from our fabric library, and we have our own, we have a seamstress that makes them for us, and I'll, you know, use custom trim and little details, a little micro, flange or something like that on the pillows, and we have our summer house tag on them. So a lot of the bedding that we do in the homes that I work on we do a lot of custom bedding and custom pillows. I love that. Yeah, that's probably one of my favorite things to do is just let's make some pillows for the store.
Right. Well, they're beautiful. And we'll be showing all of this as well for everybody so that they can see and almost touch like all of the beautiful things. I'm thinking like a working headline for this podcast for you is just like making things beautiful. And that's what you're doing. And I can't wait to have some fun with you this year and go down and cover your home in Wellington as well as that. I really, really want to get a look-see and some photos on that house you're doing in Palm Beach as well.
Yes, definitely.
And just to continue to tell the story about like how prolific you are, how much you have going on, that you're the consummate tastemaker. And I've been asking you to be on the podcast for maybe 2 years now. So I'm so happy that we did it.
I finally did it.
We finally did it.
Yes.
Well, thanks.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I hope you enjoyed our chat today with Melissa. Summerhouse Lifestyles here is absolutely beautiful. Come check it out. And we, as I've said a couple of times, be covering Melissa all year in the magazine. It's a beautiful day here in sunny Florida. Thanks, everyone. Have a good day.